Good morning, and the Lord be with you. Thank you. You know, it's not often that I get to talk to you anymore. I guess it has to be those days when only the aged and the infirm are available, and so they allow me to come. And so when I do come, I better have something important to say. And the older I get, the more I realize that the truly important things are the things that I learned as a child. The simple things, like the truth of that song we just sang. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's a truth so simple that even the youngest children can sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me." And yet, when some of the greatest theologians have been asked, "What's the most profound theological truth that you have ever learned?" they've said without hesitation, "Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong." You see, I could talk to you in this Pentecost season about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or five marks of the Christian faith and the Christian life, or a million other profound things. But if you're sick, or you've lost a loved one, or maybe you're going through a divorce that you didn't want, or you're lying on a deathbed, you don't want any of that stuff. What you want to hear from a man of God is, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And so my message to you this morning is, Jesus loves me. Or more specifically, Jesus loves you. He loves you whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you like it or not. That's what the parable of the sower in the gospel lesson was about. The seed is good. The Old Testament lesson, which was our text, says that God's word is not going to return void. It will always bear fruit. It doesn't always take root. There may be times in your life when it falls on shallow ground, when it falls on rocky ground, but the seed is good. The love is there. You might turn your back on God, but God is not going to turn his back on you. And the Bible is the record of God's love being poured out on people who thought they were weak or who thought they were strong, but in the time of their weakness found the strength of a God who cared. You see, the message that God loves you is not some isolated proof text of the Bible. It's the whole theme of the Bible. It starts out in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree that God had forbidden them not to eat of. And whether it was an apple, or it was a pomegranate, or whether it was a pear or a peach tree, doesn't make any difference at all. The point is that they had rebelled against God. They had fallen into sin. They had broken the unity between themselves and God. And then comes this passage. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You know the rest of the story, the blame game, right? He says, the woman you gave me. And you know, he's really not blaming the woman. He's blaming God. It's the woman you gave me. See? And the woman says, the devil made me do it. The snake made me do it. But the main point here is that God comes after the man and the woman. He doesn't just leave them. They hear the footsteps of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And we've got to get this part straight. Because some people think that those steps are the steps of King Kong. You know, boom, 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 boom. Adam, where are you? Did you eat of that tree in the midst of the garden? What did you do? It's that old message of, you know, Jonathan Edwards, of sinners in the hands of an angry God. But think of another picture. A loving father running after his children who are lost and afraid, like the father in the prodigal son. A father who is heartbroken and disappointed, but loves them all the same. Haven't you ever been in that kind of situation with your own children? Or maybe with your parents? Joey, where are you? What have you done? How could you be so stupid? What did you do? But come here. I still love you. Give me a hug. You know, maybe they wrecked the car. Maybe they wrecked your favorite vase. And the car is wrecked. The vase is broken. But come here. I still love you. And we'll work something out. We'll work something out. And that's what God says to Adam and Eve. You wrecked it. Paradise is ruined. You can't put it back together again now. It won't be the same from now on. But come here. I love you. And we'll work something out. What God worked out was that first prophecy in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And from that point on, God sent prophet after prophet to declare his love and to call his people back to him. Do they always listen? No. The seed doesn't always fall on good ground. And finally, God says, if they won't come to me, I'll come to them. And in John 1:14, we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld God among us. You know how hard it is to say, I'm going to come to people who won't come to me? You know how much love that takes? There are families where the people haven't talked to one another in years. And neither one is willing to take the first step. Well, he knows where I am. He's got my telephone number. If he wants to call me, he could always call me. You know how hard it is to be the one who takes the first step and makes the telephone call? Or comes over and visits and says, we've got to work this thing out. It takes love. Love that may not be met with love. Love that may be met with suffering. The kind of love that God has for you in the Word become flesh, in the birth of Jesus who came into a world that we might see the love of the Father. And that love ultimately led to the cross, so that the breach that took place in the Garden of Eden might be healed. Whoops. And we might be, as the epistle lesson says, no longer slaves to sin, but children of God once again, heirs of the kingdom, back to what God wanted us to be. Yes, Jesus loves you. This I know, because the Bible tells us so. Little ones to him belong. You know, I suppose that most of you here came to know Jesus or were brought into the faith in your baptism as little babies. Weak and helpless, unable to lift up your head, take care of your needs. I've often thought it would be fun. I'm not that good at Photoshop, but I'd like to try it sometime. You know, to take a picture of somebody at their baptism and then take their head now and Photoshop it onto their baptismal picture. Because they're still the same person. And they're still babies. And we are still babies, still children of God, still calling out, as the epistle lesson says, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy, daddy. We came into this world weak. We go out of this world weak. And sometimes in between, we are weak as ever. I sit in the pew on Sunday, and I hear prayers being offered up for families in mourning, for people with cancer, for older members going to a nursing home. And I think to myself, that's only part of what's going on out there. That's only the part that people are willing to have people say publicly. We don't hear about the marriages falling apart, about the kids who are on drugs, the barren couples who can't have children, the teens who are living with an alcoholic parent. There are lots of times when we feel weak, but he is strong. From the beginning of time, when he ran after Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he's never let you go. Never let you go. And after all the prophets, after all his actions in Jesus Christ, after all the Sunday school teachers who have put up with some rotten kids over many, many years just to get out the word of God that Jesus loves you, he's not going to let you go. You may be weak. You may have doubts. You may even be angry at God. But he is strong. And he loves you. That's the most important thing I can say. Jesus loves you. This I know. And the most important thing you can say is, yes, Jesus loves me. Can you say it? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Amen and amen. God bless you.